All right. Now let's look into the scripture before we pray tonight. Our place is the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Now, you know that we have been considering, first is how we can think of God, how the scripture presents him to us, and how many different titles and names and offices are given to us to think upon our Lord, and these are all wonderful things. And then we sort of turned the table and said, well, how does he think of us? And the scripture speaks to that as well, many things. And we've been considering, we started 2 weeks ago, I say started because we want to look at this again, the subject tonight, that the Lord looks at us as sheep. Now, of course, this 10th chapter of John is the Good Shepherd, and so there's much here about this very subject, and we want to look upon this tonight. Verse 10, and let's just start with verse 7 of John chapter 10. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd." And we'll stop right there, though we'll refer to even more in this passage. Now, our Lord pictures for them in Israel a very, very commonplace scene. And he just presents this as a figure of speech, as a, I guess you could say, an extended metaphor. It is a parable, and he describes something that everybody has seen and everyone knows. It's the life of the shepherd, the life of the sheep, and all that goes on with that. He pictures for them the fold, and this particular one evidently has some size to it because there's a wall and a door and a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper admits through only this one portal the sheep, maybe several different flocks of several different shepherds, and then the shepherd goes in and either puts his sheep to bed or comes in the morning and draws them out. And of course, each flock knows the voice or the call of its own individual shepherd, and out they go. And then Jesus says, now you can almost just see the people scratching their head like, what now? What does this mean? What's he trying to say? And then he goes in to explain to this. He says first that he is the door of the sheep, and then he goes on to say that he is the good shepherd. Now, as he thinks of us as sheep, and you remember some of the things that David said, don't you? In Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And David knew exactly the relationship between shepherd and sheep and the need that the sheep would have. And so he thinks of how he led them forth. And then he sees in that a beautiful picture of his own walk with the Lord and says, well, God's like that to me. And our Lord takes up this subject, and he says, because he views us this way, there are some things that we should see and encourage our hearts with. And of course, the great one is there in verse 11, that as the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, we should compare this to the one he describes in verse 12 and 13, which is the hireling. This is the guy. It's not his flock. It's not his sheep. He just works for a wage. He doesn't really care. The Lord says, he who is a hireling and not a shepherd. He's not the owner of the sheep. He beholds the wolf coming And he leaves the sheep and flees. Why? Well, he's concerned for his own skin, isn't he? He doesn't care a thing about the sheep. He just doesn't want to be himself in the jaws of that trap or the food for the ravenous predator. No, I'm out of here. I'm just, at $3 an hour, it's not worth it. So off he goes, and away he runs. He flees, our Lord says in verse 13, because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. Make the switch. If he is the good shepherd, what does that say to us? He is deeply, deeply concerned. Concerned to the point of laying down his life for the sheep. We are precious to him. Look at verse 18. About this laying down of his life, he says, no one has taken it from me. He says, I lay it down on my own initiative. That just means I have this authority to do it. He'll go on and say that. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up. It's entirely volitional. This is the response of his heart as he sees the sheep in the presence of a predator. What does he do? He runs to rescue it. What did David do? Well, once there was a bear and once there was a lion. In both instances, what did David do? He runs up. He grabs the beast by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Opens the mouth, rescues the sheep, dispatches the predator. What a picture of our Lord Jesus. Not thinking of himself, but thinking of you and thinking of me. It's the sort of thing that endears the Savior to the heart when you realize that I am just like that sheep. I'm just like the sheep in this sense, that there are things out there that are far more powerful, terribly malevolent, bent on my destruction. And we hear the New Testament say, indeed, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, just seeking someone to devour. Well, that's the world we live in. That's the spiritual realm that we exist in. But thank God we have a good Savior, a good shepherd who would lay down his life for us as he sees the weakness and the tremendous and terrible position that we're in. Going on, and we must go on, he, as the shepherd to the sheep, he makes himself known. I like this very much. Verse 14 says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own. And what? My own know me. This is a great thing. There's so much that we don't know about God, and some things that the theologians are right when they tell us that there are things about God he just cannot reveal to us because they are, the fancy word is incommunicable. He could say it and we wouldn't grasp it. He could reveal it and we wouldn't understand. I think we will, at least at some point, we'll understand far more than we do. At the meantime, we just sort of walk along and just say, well, the scripture says this and the scripture says that. But for all of that, our Lord is knowable. He is knowable. As a person, as an individual, as the God of glory, as the King of creation, he is knowable, and he reveals himself to his people. Look at verses 3 through 5. To him, that's the one that enters by the door, the doorkeeper, the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Some people put this to the test in Palestine. They went out there just to see. And so they donned the robes of a shepherd, and they approached his flock and tried as best they could to imitate the voice and the call of that shepherd. And their report was this. It just made the sheep uncomfortable until eventually they ran away. There is no faking this. There is no imitation that is credible to the sheep. Why? Because the Lord has made himself known to them. Now, down in your heart, you've heard 10,000 voices, I know. But there is one that you have heard. the voice of your beloved, the voice of the king, the voice of your bridegroom, and that goes on, the voice of your shepherd. He has called you, and you have come to know that voice. It's different than all others. It's distinct. It's unique, and there's nothing like it. You may not hear it all the time. I certainly don't. But when you do, it just sends an absolute chill down your spine, a shiver of delight. Ah, the Lord is speaking to me. Now, I remember one of the things Ms. Rogers used to say. We'd say, if we'd talk about, oh, this going on or that going on, and she'd say, oh, honey, that doesn't sound like God. You remember that? You can hear her saying that, can you not? What was she saying? I've heard his voice. And it's fairer than 10,000. And he is kind and gracious and good. And on he goes. She goes. But because he had made himself known to her. And if you are a believer at all, if you are in Christ Jesus at all, that means you have heard his voice, at least to some extent. And he's given you what the scripture calls that call. Follow me. Follow me. And the third thing that we'll point out here, as sheep, what does the shepherd do for the sheep? He gathers them, doesn't he? He gathers them in. And I like the way verse 16 puts this. I have other sheep. Who is that? What? Hear him. Hear him. I almost ought to make you stand up and say it. He said us. And he's right. He is looking at the Jews right in their face and says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. And what is he going to have to do? I must bring them also. I love that. And they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Now that is just unspeakably sweet. I want to say to you, that I'm grateful to God for the Jews. I'm grateful to God for the Jewish nation. And for this point, they have walked with him since he first called Abraham. And they have been able to lay down in writing, in song, in precept, in poetry, in prose, in all kinds of ways that they can speak to men what God has said to them. They have described him. They have related him. They have seen him. They have gloried in him. And they've written all this down and passed it on to us. And I'm grateful to God for that. I'm grateful that God could raise up a man like David and say, the Lord is my shepherd, that he is knowable. I've heard his voice. He has gathered me into his flock. And the call of God has been effective in my case. He has successfully brought me out of the fields and into the fold. And here I am, one of his own. And then I'm thankful to God for a Jew who one day said, we are the Israel of God. I'm thankful to God that he raised up his son, the man Christ Jesus, who could say, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. Bring them where? Bring them into the fold? Yes. Bring them into just this room? Okay. Is that all that it means? I want to read to you, as we finish this brief little meditation, I want to read to you again what David said. And I want you to think upon this. And I want you to think upon the tenses of verbs that are in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside. He restores. These are all present tense, aren't they? He's doing this. And David speaks from current present day experience. But then how does he start? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Future tense. He argues on into the future. He looks at all of the rest of his days from this point where he composes this until the last day. And he says, in all of that, because Jesus is who he is and he has done what he's done, I have gathered this much, I shall not want. He is a shepherd to me. And then he goes on in the present tense. He throws in a past tense here and there, but look at you're not there. I'll just read you verse 6 of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. He's just saying what he said in verse 1. And he will gather me. What does he say? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the good shepherd saying to his flock, come home. Come on. It's time to come in. The door is open and waiting for you. Come on. That is waiting for each of us, dear friends. The shepherd at the door saying, come, come. And because he is a good shepherd, he will faithfully gather us in. All right, let's pray.